the fact that the whole Bible is telling God's story of creation, redemption, of men and women and our relationship to God. Today, we're going to go all the way back to the beginning and look at the creation of mankind. And so this is the beginning of the gospel story, and because it's at the very beginning, right? And so God is the ruler of heaven and earth, but he created everything, and he created that, and he gave us part responsibility in ruling over it. And so this isn't the beginning of God. It's only the beginning of the part he lets us share where he created us. And so as Christians, I want to tell you, when we talk about creation, as a Christian, I believe that God created the world, period. God created the world. Now, just that statement that God created the heavens and earth gets people all jacked up. I mean, it's one of the most controversial and challenging concepts. You'll hear people argue about it. And people say, well, you just don't believe in science, and all kinds of stuff will go on. And if you think about it, I mean, we live in a galaxy that's spinning. The Milky Way galaxy at something like 490,000 miles per hour. And at that speed, it takes it 200 million years to make one rotation. So we haven't made a rotation yet, have we? And then there's over a billion galaxies just like ours. Now, some scientists used to say that there's as many stars as there are numbers of grains of sand on all our beaches. Think about that. There's a lot of beaches, a lot of sand on those beaches, and as many stars as the sands in those beaches. Now, here's the thing. You've got all of that, and it's moving in an order that nothing runs into each other. I mean, it would make any dance team envious, the coordination of the universe as it moves and as it grows. So to say the universe just happened or evolved, to me, requires more faith than it does to believe that God created it. And so we're going to look at that a little bit. But I want you to think with me, why did God create the universe? Think about it. Why did he create the universe? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, why would he go to all the trouble and then put up with us for so many years? You know, I mean, my goodness, but he chose to create the universe, including us, because of this. God is love, and love is best expressed towards something or someone. Now, that's not in your bulletin, in your notes, but God, love is best expressed when it's towards something. We're the object of God's love. And so he created us, and he created the world as an expression of his love. Now, so when we, you know, today we're all into science and all that, and so with all the science, do not forget that we exist because God is love. The Bible talks about creation but does not discuss evolution. You write that down. The Bible talks about creation but doesn't discuss evolution. Why is that? Because the worldview the Bible has assumes that God created the world. The biblical view of creation is not in conflict with, it's in conflict not just with evolution, but it's in conflict with any worldview that starts without a creator. I want you to think about that. So many worldviews today, people disavow God. And in any worldview about the creation that puts God out of that is the Bible is in conflict with. So we need to understand that. Let me just say this. The idea that all of this just happened, that you were put together miraculously as our bodies are, and you know, the earth not being tilted a tenth of a degree would burn us, a tenth of a degree the other way would freeze us. All of that, and believing that just could happen is about the same as believing that a Mercedes just happened. You know, I mean, that Mercedes started out with a piece of metal. And then there was more than one piece of metal. And then all of a sudden, they formed a nice new Mercedes SUV. Just by accident, by evolving, or something boomed and made them all fall together, or something. That's about how hard it is to believe that you and me just happened. So as we look at this, we're going to look at, in the beginning, God created. That's the first words of the Bible. In the beginning, God created. And you know, people come to different conclusions about how he did that. We won't know exactly how it happened until we see him in heaven. But let me tell you what the most important thing to remember about tonight is. It's not the process of creation, which is important. That's the most important. It's the origin of creation that's important. It's the origin. Who did it? The world's not a byproduct of blind chance or evolution or Big Bang. Write this down. God created the world. And he created the world for a purpose. And so the Bible not only tells us about that world and how it was created, but the Bible tells us about our relationship with God. It reveals to us not just that God created the world, it reveals to us who that God is so that we can know him personally and we can have a relationship with him. And it also sets the stage, Genesis does, for the rest of the Bible. I had a friend of mine that used to not believe the first 11 chapters of Genesis. And he would go around saying that. And so he was witnessing to a friend of his, and the guy said, well, do you believe in the creation and the flood and all this? He says, no, that's all figurative. He said, then why should I believe you when you're talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John? And that made him think, and he started looking at the evidence for creation and all that and came to the conclusion that, you know, God created the world, and we need to understand that, and that sets the stage. So let's get into the story. Look in Genesis chapter 1. Verses 1 and 2, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and the darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Now, this story teaches a few things. I put you a list in here. We learned several things about God. One, that he's creative. Write that down. God is creative. We learned that he's creative. We also learned about God that as a creator, he is distinct from his creation. A lot of people think that, oh yeah, we're God. No, we're not. God created us. He created the world. And if you're a Christian, he lives in you in the presence of the Holy Spirit. But he is distinct from the creation. The Bible says he's holy and set apart. He's above the creation. And so we need to understand it. We also learn about God that he's eternal and he's in control of the world. He's eternal and he's in control of the world. See, God always was. People have said, well, who created God? Nobody. He was always is. That's why he told Moses, I am. Moses said, what's your name? I am. Didn't say I was, didn't say I'm going to be. I am. It means he's always been. And so he's eternal, and he's in control. Even though sometimes it feels like he's not in control, but he is in control. And so we learn about ourselves. There's some things we learn about ourselves as well. One is that because God chose to create us, we're valuable. Because God chose to create us, we are valuable. You get your worth and value because God created you. Not because you evolved, or not because there are no accidents, there are no illegitimate people. God created each person, and he created a special and unique. And that gives you great value. Gives you great value. We also learn about ourselves that we're more important than the animals. Hate to disappoint PETA and some people, but we're more important than the animals in Genesis 1:28. And we're going to look at that as we continue through here. He gives us dominion over the animals and to reign. So how did God create the earth? I mean, there's been a lot of debate about it. You know, you got the Big Bang idea. You've got the evolution of billions of years and all that. And if you look, every ancient religion just about has a creation story. But it's only the Bible that tells a story of a supreme God that created the earth and created people. And he did that out of his great love, and he gave people a special place in it. Like I said, we won't really know exactly how he did it until we get to heaven. But the fact is that he created us, and that gives us value. Now, if you look at verse 2 in Genesis 1, it says, the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And so look at formless and empty. I mean, nothing was formed yet, just formless and empty. There were no land, no water. It's just mush, I guess. I don't know. And that provides the setting for the creation narrative. Now, during the second, third days, God gave form to the universe, In the next 3 days, God filled the earth with living beings, and darkness was done away with on the first day when God created light. And so, but here, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, kind of like a mother bird might hover over the chicks in a nest. The Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters. And let me tell you something. God's Spirit was active in forming the world and creating the world. And it's the same Holy Spirit that works in you and me today that formed the world. So how long did it take God to create the world? How long did it take God to create the world? Write this down. 6 days. And he rested on the seventh. 6 days. You know, there's a couple of views of that. Some people think, well, that day doesn't mean a 24-hour day period. That day could be 200,000 years or whatever, you know. And there are people that believe that. But the word used there in the Hebrew is the same word used for 24-hour periods everywhere else. So I'm going to buy into the fact that when it says a day, he's talking about a 24-hour period that he created that in simply because of the language used in writing the Bible. So I wanted to go real quickly through the days. So day one, write down, he created light. Look, in Genesis 1, 3 through 5, it says this, and then God said, let there be light. Let me tell you, there is power in words. God spoke the world into existence. What do you think Jesus could have done on the cross? He could have spoke some Roman soldiers out of existence. You know, but he didn't. He didn't choose to do that. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness and called the light day and the darkness night. And the evening passed and morning came, marking the first day. So the day one was light. Day two, he created the sky. That's the space between the waters above and the waters below. And so we call it the atmosphere, you know. And so here's what it says in verses 6 through 8. Then God said, let there be a space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens, where you think rain comes from, and from the waters of the earth. And that's what happened. God made the space to separate the waters of the earth from the waters of the heaven. God called the space sky. So there's a sky that we see between the upper atmosphere and the water here. And then that was the second day. The third day, God created the land, the sea, and vegetation. Created land. I mean, still at this point, everything is kind of, you know, not a lot of form yet. He's putting some structure to our world. Then God said, let the waters beneath the sky flow together into one place so that dry ground might appear. And so continents were formed. And all that happened when God spoke this, and that's what happened. God called the dry ground land and the waters seas. So that's how we have our continents and our seas. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, let the land sprout with vegetation. Every sort of seed-bearing plant and trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. These seeds will then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came. And that's what happened. Then the land produced vegetation and all sorts of seed-bearing plants and trees with seed-bearing fruit, and their seeds produced plants and trees of the same kind. And God saw that it was good, and evening passed, and morning came, marking the third day. Now, here's the thing. He created all this, and here's one of the things that kind of I want you to hear. He says the trees reproduced after their own kind. The plants reproduced after their own kind. That in everything reproduced after its own kind. A tree didn't become a tomato plant, and a tomato plant didn't become an oak tree. Each one produced after its own kind, and that was day three. Day four, God created the sun, the moon, and the stars to govern the day and mark the seasons and days and years. Here's what it said in verse 14. Then God said, let lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night, the moon and the stars. So he just spoke it, and all these other galaxies I just mentioned, boom, there they are. All the stars we get to look at and all that. And then he said, and that's what happened. And then let these lights in the sky shine down on the earth, and that's what happened. God made two great lights, the larger one to govern the day and the smaller one, the moon, to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set these lights in the sky to light the earth, to govern the day and night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and evening passed and morning came, marking the fourth day. Now, I want you to see there's a purpose there. He put all that stuff there. Why did he put it there? To shine light on where? The earth. For us. That's how special you are. He created a universe to sustain us. Okay? And so that makes you of great value. If you think you're worthless, uh-uh. All this stuff we have was created for you. Day five, God created fish and birds. I know some people in here like both of those because they like to go fishing and shoot birds and eat them, you know, and stuff. So God created that to fill the waters, the sky, and the earth. It says, look, let the waters swarm with fish and other life. Let the skies be filled with birds of every kind. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that scurries and swarms in the water, every sort of bird producing offspring and of the same kind, and God saw that it was good. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Let the fish fill the seas and let the birds multiply on the earth. And the evening passed and morning came, marking the fifth day. So God is creating all this stuff, and now we're getting down to the good stuff. On day six, God created animals and man and woman. Created animals and man and woman. And so in Genesis 1:24, it said, God said, let the earth produce every sort of animal, each producing offspring of what? The same kind. Livestock, small animals that scurry along the ground, and wild animals. And that's what happened. God made all sorts of wild animals, livestock, small animals, each able to produce offspring of the same kind. And God saw it was good. Now, God, you know, he keeps saying it was good. I think he's feeling pretty good about what he's doing, right? And let me tell you, sometimes, you know, we don't feel good when we accomplish something. Here's God accomplishing something. He's modeling for us that it's okay to feel good about what you do. You do a good job, feel good about it. Be happy with it. Be proud of it. You know, there's no reason that you shouldn't do that. I mean, unless you're doing something God wouldn't please, you know, be pleased with. But you know, think about that when you go out through the week, that you're actually pleasing God with what you do. Then verse 26, he gets to the nitty-gritty. He said, then God said, let us make man in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and the livestock and all the wild animals of the earth and the small animals that scurry along the ground. Now, us, people debate that, but I think it's a clear reference to the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so, you know, all of whom are God, you know, from Job and Psalms, we know the Holy Spirit was active in creation. Colossians 1:16, Paul talks about Jesus being active in the creation. And so you see the whole Trinity involved. And so God said, let us make man, or humans, in our own image. And so God did. Write this down. God made humans in his image. But what does that mean? You know, does it mean we look like him physically? Well, we don't know what God looks physically until Jesus came. Does it mean that you know, what does it mean exactly? Well, some people feel it's our ability to reason or think most likely it's the fact that we do reason like God. We're the only creation that can make decisions. But we're also a triune being. Just like God is triune, the Trinity, we have a body, a soul, and a spirit. And so God created us like himself. Now, we'll never be just like God because God is God. He's holy and he's set apart. And he's the supreme creator. But we do have the ability to reflect his character, to reflect who he is and his characteristics, such as love and patience and forgiveness. One of the things we need to really be reflecting right now is love, forgiveness, kindness, and stuff like that, and faithfulness, you know. So knowing we're made in the image of God is a solid basis for self-worth. Let me tell you something. When you're made in the image of God, that is the basis of our self-worth. It's not based, our worth isn't based on possessions. It's not based on achievements. It's not based on your bank accounts. It's based on the fact that we're made in God's image. We're made in God's image, and that's why we can feel positive about ourselves. Now, when you put yourself down, you're putting down God's creation. God doesn't make mistakes, and he doesn't make junk, and he didn't make a mistake when he created you. And so we're made in his image. And so knowing that you're a person of worth, I believe, helps us know God, to love God, helps us to know him personally, and to make a valuable contribution to those around us. If I feel good about who I am because of what God's done, I can make a difference. And write this down. There's a lot of pushback on this sometimes, but God created men and women equal. God created men and women equal. There's a lot of people don't believe that. They think, women are lesser, and I've heard all kinds of crazy arguments. 127, God created human beings in his own image. In the image he created them, male and female, he created them. So he created both, or created it. Now, women, we know y'all think that y'all are to rule over us, but he created us equal. And we know ever since Eve got Adam to eat the fruit that y'all been, in charge, but we were created equal. So give us a break, but he created both equal. And so there's no, when you see people putting down women, that's going against God's design. I just want to tell you, write this down. God put mankind in charge of the earth, put men and women in charge of the earth. In verse 28, it says this, then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it. So fill the earth and govern it. Fill it with people and govern it. Then look what he says. Reign over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and the animals that scurry along the ground. And God said, look, I've given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. I've given you every green plant as food for all the wild animals and the birds of the sky and the small animals that scurry along the ground, everything that has life. And that's exactly what happened. And that's what happened. Now, to reign over something is to have complete authority over that. When you reign over something, you've got a complete authority and you've got complete control over that. We don't have that in our country. We're a republic. We're a democratic republic. But you've got some of these countries where they have a king or a dictator or whatever, and he's got complete control. And so God put man in authority over his creation to reign over it and to control it. And I want to say with that, he expects us to take care of it. I was in the Boy Scouts when I was younger, and we'd go camping. We had a great scout master, and we'd go camping, and his deal was when we left an area in the woods, you could not tell we were there. It had to be just like it was before we came. So anything, if we dug a hole, cut a tree, I mean, all of that was cleaned up, and everything was just, you couldn't tell we'd built a fire there and cooked, nothing. And so God wants us to take care of it. And take care of his creation. Write this down. God said his creation was very good after he created you and me. After he created you and me, he said, you know what? It's very good. Verse 31, God looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was very good. Underline that in the scripture there. And evening passed, and morning came the sixth day. See, everything else was good until he got to y'all. And he said, it's very good. And let me tell you, if you've ever felt worthless, the fact of the matter is God said you are very good. You're very good. And so remember that. He created you. Now, then the next verses, real quick, we're going to look at chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 here. God's going to introduce the principle of the Sabbath. He's going to introduce the principle of the Sabbath and of rest. Now, we're not, some people are good at rest. We got better at resting during COVID, right? And taking the Sabbath. But look what he says in verse 1. He said, so the creation of the heavens and earth and everything in them was completed. And on the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. Now, I don't for a minute believe that God gets tired, but the principle is he took a rest. Took a break. He modeled for his people, for us, that we need to take a break. Did you know they used to rotate crops? They'd grow a crop on land for 6 years, and then they'd give the land a year off. Now we do it with chemicals. We change stuff up. But the principle is the principle of the Sabbath, and it's the principle of rest. And it said, for God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy. So he set it aside because it was the day when he rested from all his work in the account of creation of the heavens and earth, when the Lord made, God made all the heavens and earth. And so we tend to live this action-oriented life, but rest is important. And God shows us that in the Sabbath. You know, it became part of the Ten Commandments, but it was put in the Ten Commandments for a reason, because we need to take a day off. And I'm the biggest offender of that. But he said rest is important. Rest is important. You know, too often we get programmed where we're feeling guilty if we just take a day and goof off and don't do anything. But it's important to do that. And so God set that apart. And so he set it apart as a holy day so that we would do it, so that mankind would do it. Now look at this next thing I want you to write down. God breathed life into humans. We're going to look at the detailed account kind of creation. He breathed life into humans. In Genesis 2:4, said, this is the account of the creations of heaven and earth. A little more detail. When God made the earth and heavens, neither wild plants or grains were growing on the earth, for the Lord had not yet sent rain to water the earth, and there are no people to cultivate the soil. Instead, springs came up from the ground and watered the land. And then, remember when I told you Noah, when God said, hey, I'm going to make it rain 40 days? And he's going, huh? Because it had never rained. Springs were watering the land. He said, then the Lord formed the man out of the dust of the ground. Now, guys, before you go thinking you're all that, you know, we go to the gym and we're doing all this. We're mud. My father-in-law used to say, M-U-D, mud. That's what you are. Guys, you're mud. Women, y'all were made out of a rib. Guys, y'all kind of, that's why women always say we're dirty. I mean, you know, we're made out of dirt, you know, and so mud. So he took dust of the ground, but here's the thing. Before he breathed the breath of life in us, that's what we were, was dirt. But it says he breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils, and man became a living person. When God breathed into us, you see, our life and worth comes from God's Spirit putting that life in us. And that's what he did. We're not based on achievements and all that, based on what God did for us. God created us in his image, and he breathed life into us. Write this down. It's not in your notes, but we need to value life like God does. You see, he values life because he gives us the breath of life. He gives us the breath of life, and so I believe we need to value life in the womb to the tomb. Because what's happened is years ago, and we said it would happen, that if you don't value life in the womb, if you're pushing abortion and all that kind of stuff, then one day we're not going to take care of old people. And we've hit that place. We've hit that place. And so we need to value life. God values life. And let me tell you, while somebody's breathing, God can always do a miracle. So write this down. With the good always comes a test. We're going to look at more of that next week. But with the good always comes a test. Verse 8 of chapter 2 says, then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east. All I can tell you about where the Garden of Eden is, it's in the east. Nobody's ever found it, and they won't. But he planted a garden of Eden in the east, and there he placed the man he had made. And the Lord made all sorts of trees grow up from the ground. And the trees were beautiful. And that produced delicious fruit. And in the middle of the garden, he placed the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A river flowed from the land of Eden, watering the garden, and then dividing the four branches. The first branch, called Pishon, flowed around the entire island, a land of Havilah, where gold is found. Wouldn't you like to find Havilah? And they said, the gold of that land is exceptionally pure. Aromatic resin and onyx stone are also found there. The second branch, called Gihon, flowed around the entire land of Cush. The third branch, called the Tigris, flowed east of the land of Asher. And the fourth branch is called the Euphrates. And God put Adam and Eve right in that garden with everything they needed. They had everything they needed. And they put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and tree of life in there. And next week, we're going to look at the fall of man. So we're going to look at, he put them in that garden with everything they needed. So this is the only thing you can't have. What you think they focused on? That's like when Apple comes out with a new phone. I've got a new phone. Apple will come out with a new one next year, and I'm going to be looking at it and say, man, this is old. I want that one. That's what man was doing. So we're going to look more detail of that. But tonight, I want you to remember this. God created you in His image. God created you in His image, and that gives you worth and value. That gives you worth and value. And then I believe God gave us the authority and responsibility to reign over the earth. There are people that think we're no better than an animal. And we're not. We're given authority over this earth. Men are. And it comes from God. And as you study the Bible, there's a lot of places in there where you see where the authority is given. We know that in Romans 13, authority is given to our legal people and our law and our police officers to enforce the laws. And so it comes from the Bible. And our authority to reign over the earth, to be in charge of animals and stuff. And later on, after the flood, we'll see where God gave us the animals to eat. I mean, right now they're just eating vegetation. But God put us here to reign over it. He created us in His image, so you have great value, and we need to be responsible. I want you to bow your heads. I'll have better jokes next week because it's talking about men and women a little bit more and the superiority of women. But here's the thing. You may be watching on Facebook. You might be here. Maybe you struggle with how you see yourself. I did. Maybe you don't see yourself as worth very much. Maybe you don't see yourself as talented. We tend to see people with great talents and think our talents just don't match up. I want to tell you tonight, again, God created you just like you are. I used to wish I was taller and heavier. Until I had an injury, and they said, you know, if you were a little bit heavier, you would have broken that, and you wouldn't have been able to walk for a while. And I was going, God, thank you, I'm small and slow, you know. But He created you just like you are for a purpose. But I want you to realize He created you. And God doesn't make junk. And God doesn't make mistakes. And He didn't make a mistake with you, no matter how you feel. God did not make a mistake when He created you because He created you in His image. And He created you out of love. You got to know, God didn't have to do any of this, but He created us because He loves us. And He wants you to have salvation. So if you've never received Jesus, let me tell you, there's nothing better than the feeling of the release of guilt and shame and bitterness and frustration. When you just give it to God, He forgives it, and Jesus comes into your life. I mean, your feet almost don't touch the floor. So if you're here tonight or you're watching, tonight or later, and you've never received Jesus, you've never felt that relief that comes from having your sins forgiven, I'm going to pray a prayer in just a moment. I want you to pray it with me. Because I believe with all my heart that God created you because He loves you and He has a purpose for you. But our sin keeps us from having that relationship with God. And it's only through a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Not coming to church, not watching church, not being good, not anything like that. The Bible says we've all sinned and fall short of God's glory, which is perfection. Bible also says that the wages of that sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus. That's what we're studying. So God wants you to receive His Son, Jesus. So pray this prayer with me. Dear God, I admit to you that I need a Savior because I'm a sinner. Forgive me, Jesus, of all my sin. Come into my life. Be my Savior and be my Lord. Give me the power of your Spirit to follow you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you can mark that on your connection card in a minute, or you can put it in the chat bar or send me a private message, however you want to do it. We want to pray for you. But what I want to do right now is I just want to pray. If you're sick, whether you're watching, just we're going to pray for you. Raise your hand where you're at. If you're sick in here or know someone who's sick, just raise your hand. Matter of fact, Pastor Kathy can come up. If you want us to lay hands on you in this room and pray for you, we will pray for you right here. Because we believe that God can bring healing in people's lives. But I see the hands that are up, so we're going to pray. Lord, you see each hand that's up, whether it's in this room or in a room somewhere in this area that, or somewhere, anywhere. God, I pray healing in their bodies. I pray healing for the people that they are thinking of and praying for. We stand in agreement. We stand in agreement for healing, God. For healing, whether it's of COVID, heart disease, cancer, whatever it is, God, we pray for healing. Diabetes, or we pray for those in our church that can't be here because they're sick. And so, God, we lift them up, Lord. We pray against those against diabetes. Lord, for those who struggle with strongholds of drug addiction or alcohol or smoking, whatever it is, God, we pray you release them from it. Deliver them from it, God. Set them free in the name of Jesus. We have many that have been impacted financially by this pandemic this year, and so some are looking for jobs, some are working different kinds of jobs than they've ever worked. God, we pray for them that you would provide for them in supernatural ways, that they know it's you doing it. Lord, for those in our church that have children that are struggling, God, we pray you'd provide for them in a way they know it's you, so it'll draw them into relationship with you, God. Draw them into relationship with you because they see the power of God in their lives and the love of God in their lives. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord.
Above every name, that in the name of Jesus, every disease must bow at the name of Jesus. For Lord, your word says in Isaiah, and it says in 1 Peter, that it is by your stripes that we were healed. And Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice that you made for us, Lord, in giving your life that we could have life. So let every bondage of sickness be broken now. In the name of Jesus, off of Miss Jean's life. Lord, I thank you that she is your faithful servant. And God, I pray, God, that you would honor her faithfulness, Lord, but that she would stand in faith and believe in God, that your word is true. You said you sent your word and you healed them. So, Lord, we're sending your word forth now to Miss Jean. And we come against cancer. We come against disease. In the name of Jesus, we speak life. We speak healing and we speak health to this body. We declare it by your stripes. She is healed now in Jesus' name. And we give you praise, Lord. We give you thanks, oh God. Thank you, Lord.
Anybody else
Thank
need prayer?
Lord, in Jesus' name. Well, we got the anointing oil. Anyone else want prayer? Just sit on the front row. So you don't even have to stand. Just sit and we'll come to you. Pray for Cindy.
If you're in here, you can stretch your hands out.
We come against infirmity.
Yes.
And we come against disease in Cindy's body. And Lord, we declare your word. You said lay hands on the sick. And they shall recover. You said anoint them with oil. So Lord, we are just walking in obedience to your word. And we declare that Cindy is healed in Jesus' name. Lord, you see this hand that she's having trouble with. In the name of Jesus, be loosed in Jesus' name. Be loosed in the name of Jesus. And be set free.
Complete healing in Jesus' name.
In the name of Jesus. Just like the woman that came to Jesus with the shriveled up arm. Yep. And the blood. Yep. But she touched the hem of his garment, that particular passage. And she immediately felt virtue go through her body. Immediately. So we just pray, oh God, we love those immediates, God. So we pray for an immediate healing in Cindy. In the name of Jesus, against autoimmune, against every disease and infirmity, against this daughter of the living God. She is your child, made in your image. And Lord, we just speak life and healing now over Cindy. And we declare your word by your stripes. She's healed, and we plead the blood of Jesus over her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. In Jesus' name, we declare it. In Jesus' name. Lord, we just honor you. We give you thanks, God. You said, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will answer. Lord, you're here to deliver sickness, disease, and addiction. Any controlling spirits that have taken over a life, in the name of Jesus, we say, be set free in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we just plead your blood over each one here. Lord, and over our nation, over our country, over all that's going on in our government, Lord, we look to you. For your word says that you sit high and you laugh at the rulers and those who think they're calling all the shots. But Lord, you sit high and you laugh because you have the ultimate say. You have the ultimate control. So Lord, we look to you as your people and we humble ourselves before you. And we surrender the situation in our nation to you, Lord, that peace will reign. That, Lord, we will be at peace one with another as children of the living God. That we will not allow ourselves to be divided or there to be divisiveness. In the name of Jesus, we declare peace in the house of God and among the people of God. And that we will be an example to the community where there is divisiveness. That, God, that you reign. And that, God, you reign over all and you make ultimate determinations in the courses of nations. So, Lord, we just thank you and we hope, our hope is in you. But, God, we just pray you would raise up righteous leaders and those who will stand for those who can't help themselves. And, Lord, we pray that America will be greater than it's ever been and that, God, you will change the hearts of those who might be in leadership. God, you can turn their hearts fully to you, that they will lead the charge for the helpless and the unborn and for the sick and the elderly and for social justice and racial equality that we all want. But God, we want to honor your name above all, Lord, we look to you. You're our hope and you're our help in time of trouble. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Kenny? Where is Kenny? Ben, Kenny, come on down. We want Kenny to come on down. We want you to come on down. We're going to lay hands on you in Jesus' name.
Put that oil in his eye.
We're going to put that oil.
Kenny's got a scratch
or something in his eye. You can stand. You're healthy. Come on. Let's go up there. In the name of Jesus. We love Kenny. We love Kenny.
Heal this scratch. Lord, we just pray in the name of Jesus that you heal him completely. That this eye heals. Lord, as he sleeps tonight, let it heal tonight. To wake up with no pain tomorrow and clear vision in it, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We give you glory for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, we just pray a good report. You said, whose report will we believe? We will believe the report of the Lord. The doctors may have their report, God, but you have the ultimate report. And we will believe your word, and we will declare your word that it is by your stripes she is healed in Jesus' name, from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. It is by your stripes she is healed. Strengthen, O God. Complete the work, O God. In healing, Lord, you said you came to heal the brokenhearted and bind up their wounds. And Lord, we just pray your healing for Denise, God. Lord, as she's going through this valley of the shadow of death, Lord, you said we will fear no evil, for you are with us, and we're coming out on the other side. And Lord, we will each one see you face to face in our loved ones, Lord. And we will rejoice for all eternity around the throne of God. So, Lord, we look forward to that day. We look forward to that day. We look up, for you said our redemption draweth nigh. Our hope is in you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
All right, well, we're going to close out with a song. I want to invite you back for Sunday morning. And we'll continue the series. I'll do it tomorrow. Anybody ever said that?